I'm going to pray for us, but I want to encourage you to do something this morning. I'm going to pray that God would freshen up the stillness in our relationship with Him. Because if you're here and you're reasonably paying attention, there's probably some part of your life that's a little stale. Or maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. I don't know. But I suspect that there's some staleness in the room today, and it's not just me. So that's my first suggestion as I get ready to pray. My second one is this. Some of you need things to focus on that's beyond these two screens. So I'd encourage you to do this. Take out the written word, whether it be on your phone or your hard copy or your journal, and engage what God's saying through His word and take some notes. Embrace what He is saying. Scribble in your margins. Highlight on your phone. Embrace what He is saying today, because we're going to look at a variety of scriptures, but we always move pretty fast. So God's here to freshen us up today. He's here to speak to us, but I think He also is challenging us, hey, use what's right in front of us. The written word, your journal. Let God speak to you. Let's pray. Father, that song really just kind of, I think, just did a great job. Lord, we need you. Lord, we don't just need you here this morning. We needed you before. We needed you during. And we will need you after and long after. And Father, I'm very thankful. The value you place on us is great and cannot be measured, knows no limits. And that, Father, even if this morning there's somebody in this room that is believing or has believed that their value is not much, God, I'm asking you right now to just destroy that lie. Father, it is hard to hear what you're saying, what you're doing, when all we can hear is the chatter of garbage. And Father, I'm asking you to destroy that. I'm asking you, Father, that this time, these moments together, that Father, we can begin to build a new foundation if we haven't had one yet. Or that Father, you can heal the cracks and the crevices in our current foundation. That Father, you are building something great. You are the builder. You're the master crafter. Father, you're the awesome God who knows every detail about our lives. And you still love us. That's a praise God right there. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, as you go, Walking in the Spirit began a new series last week. As we are walking with the Spirit, God is challenging us to do that not in a moment, but to be a lifestyle of moments with that. And this morning, for some of you, it'll be maybe a refresher. Maybe it'll be a first time. Maybe God's going to show you about a subject matter that you really think you've kind of accomplished. That you think you're good. You've checked the box. Walking in the Spirit with the Holy Spirit living in you. This is about intimacy. This is about a close relationship. One of my not love languages is touch, meaning I'm not a big hand holder. I'm not a big put your arm around people, a big hug. I'm not that away. But Kathy loves to hold hands and me to hug her. And one of the things she loves to say when we're at home, won't you come here and sit next to me? And usually my next words are, why? I'm comfortable. You comfortable? I can see the TV. In fact, I even confess, sometimes I'm like, if I move over there, I may not have the same view from over here. But I know that it does mean something because that's the way God has wired her. And so then I get a choice of being obedient or disobedient. And therein lies our choice today. Will we be obedient or disobedient? Will we understand everything that's spoken today? Probably not, and that's okay. God says, come to Him with questions. God says, let's wrestle this out together. God says, let me show you. Let me give you revelation. Let me impart to you something new. So this morning, as we begin this walking with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in you. And the first point is to walk by the Spirit means the Holy Spirit lives in you, period, if you're a follower of Christ. John 14, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and I will give you another advocate. He's never going to leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads into all truth. So when he's doing the leading, lies are not what he's leading you into. He's leading you from or out of lies. The world can't receive him. This isn't pouring a giant bucket of Holy Spirit water on the world. Boom, we're good. It's individual. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. We also find when Paul writes to the Corinthian church, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? And he says in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, do you not know that your bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? The Holy Spirit is living in you at this very moment. And praise be to God that in the next moment, if we mess it up, he doesn't leave us. Praise be to God, tomorrow we wake up in a bad mood, not that anybody would do that, that he has not left us nor forsaken us. Praise God that tomorrow as we're walking along, that Holy Spirit is dwelling up in us. It's dwelling with us. If we've confessed with our mouths and believed in our heart that Jesus is Lord. So it has to be taken seriously. It is a truth. And praise be to God, we are saved through faith by grace, so we can't lose it when our faith is struggling. It is maintained by the grace of God. Praise be to God. But this morning, this truth sinking upon you, how has there been a struggle with this reality in your life? How has there been a struggle with, like, the living God dwells in me? Yes, he does, if you're a follower of Christ. But we also recognize there's been a battle. That while the Holy Spirit lives in you, the world, the flesh, and the devil has been battling around you and for you, wanting to deter you, destroy you, manipulate you, control you, keep you from the plans of God. And one of those great lies I believe many Christians believe and struggle with in the world today is simply this. I don't know that I'm a follower of Christ. I don't really know that I'm a Christian. I don't really feel like it. I have been struggling with the same sin or sins now for years, decades, days, moments, whatever it is. But God is saying to you today, if you've confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart, God has put his Spirit within you, and you can't do anything to get rid of it. Praise be to God. Because it's not dependent upon your works. It's dependent upon his grace and mercy as you're acknowledging that Jesus is Lord of your life. So my question, is the Holy Spirit living in you? Have you confessed with your mouth? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord of your life and that God himself has been able to go, boom, I'm going to put my Spirit in you? We believe as a church congregation, and the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. God the Father sits in heaven, his Son sits at his right hand, and his Holy Spirit is deposited within his believers who follow him. And as we walk through this sermon today, are you acknowledging that the Holy Spirit is living in you? Are you still in that tension of not being sure? So as we walk through this morning, maybe that's something we need to think about. Maybe you need to think about, is the Holy Spirit really living in me? Have I really made this transaction? And then another question for you would be, am I submitting to what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life? Point number two, to walk by the Spirit means to be open and sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit. Look what Jesus said in John 14, 26. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. That's not condition-based scripture. That's a fact to be embraced through faith, by faith, to be lived out in faith. That when you receive the Holy Spirit, that God put himself in you to teach you, to show you, to remind you. And that right there, that scripture should be a challenge for any of us that believe we have reached a certain point, a certain level of maturity, and we can't go any higher. There's no limitations on that scripture. There's no age limit. There's no term limit. There's no expiration date. God is still in full teaching revelation mode right now in 2020. He is on it every day to be open and to be sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit. That we don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That we don't want to give in that. We want to walk by the Spirit because the Spirit lives in us, teaching us. Are you a good student? Are you teachable? Are you one who wants to know all that God has for you, not just when it's convenient, not just when the world is crashing down around you, but you are hungry and thirsty, and I want to be taught by the Spirit in situations. I want to be taught how to walk in the Spirit before I even need to know how to walk in the Spirit in certain situations. The Holy Spirit doesn't move in us to gratify our fleshly desires or passions. It is to teach us about Jesus and to guide us on the path of Jesus. The key to righteous living is walking in the Spirit, but not living under the law of the flesh. To be open and sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's walking by the Spirit. That Spirit that's been deposited in you. Point number three. We're going to move real quick today. To walk by the Spirit means pattern your life after Jesus through the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think this is one of those points where here's a word of caution for us. I have done what I'm getting ready to caution you against today way too many times. I have taken being led by the Holy Spirit and decided I would try to manipulate it. And what I mean by that, I would take God and say, God, if you would, then I will. God, I don't know what you have next, so I think I'll just stay where I am. And I know that, God, you really do have something else for me. But I think I'll just be right here and be comfortable. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. If I pause right there and ask you to evaluate your own life, does your lifestyle reflect being a part, to be a vine, to be part of the branch, or does it look more like deadness to the world around you, as if you've been severed? As a follower of Christ, how would you evaluate your life in light of that scripture? And then in John 15:3, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. We can tell if someone walks in the Spirit because they'll look a lot like Jesus. Jesus told us that the mission of the Holy Spirit would be to promote and speak of Him. Are you speaking of Him? Are you promoting Him? Is your lifestyle speak volumes of Him and Him being in you? Are you promoting yourself through the conversations you have with family and friends and co-workers and those people you just pass by sort of on the street? Has God been reminding you over and over of truths that He is challenging you to walk in? Will you embrace that you are forgiven? Will you embrace that you are saved? Will you embrace that you're a follower of Christ? Will you embrace His love for you? Or do you feel like you're just kind of chasing the wind so often? And this time, I'm not talking about the wind of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about you just feel like you're grasping for straws. You're grasping for air. And there's nothing of substance to your relationship with God. I came across one of my weird stories that I come across every single day probably. I don't have any trouble getting up in the morning. I love getting up early. Just fun to me. I love the quiet. I enjoy it. I enjoy these cool mornings. We keep our house very, very cool in these last few mornings. Just enjoy it so much. But I came across a story about, some of you need this, by the way. Probably. I said probably. About an alarm clock that some guys from MIT designed, and it's for real. It's got a catchy name. You might be able to remember it. It's called the Clocky. And it's a real alarm clock that has wheels on it. And when it goes off, it, whatever it's about, it takes off and you have to chase it. It's for real. It's on Amazon. It's about $40. Okay? And I was looking, I didn't actually take time to watch a video, but I thought, wouldn't that be an awesome trick to play on somebody? You give them this clock, they don't know that it's going to take off on them when it goes off. They can't chase this. They can't chase. Okay, some of you think about other people that probably need it. Okay. But the thing about, you got to move to get it. Or, my thought was, once I catch it, it's going to be once and done. There will be no second day with Clocky. Okay? Probably shouldn't have told you all that because I really would like to give that as a gift to somebody. But some of you are not morning people, so I'm pretty sure in our house we have a rule that says no major decisions will be made before there's a coherency test given. And I'm not talking about me. She's sitting back there. She can hear. Yes, Kathy, my wife, Daniel. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying, Kathy, my wife. Appreciate that part. One of these days, I should just take a Sunday and tell you all the stories about Daniel and I, okay? Because most of you wouldn't believe them, all right? That's a challenge, those scriptures. Patterning our lives as if we really are Jesus walking on this earth. As if there's another option. To walk by the Spirit means patterning our life as to be just like Jesus. For God's glory, for His kingdom, for His name, and delving into the deeper things of Him. And what I mean by that, are we teachable? Are we still kind of shallow? Is there depth to our relationship? Or is there no depth to our relationship? Do you feel like you're just kind of chasing and you're really just chasing your own self in circles? Or are you longing for the Holy Spirit to just show you some things about yourself and about your life and to give you a hope and to breathe some freshness on you that maybe you haven't experienced ever or in a long time? I think it would be amazing as followers of Christ, those who have claimed the name of Jesus, if we allow Jesus just to be Lord of our lives and to change our tongue, to change our mind, that our eyes would see what He wants us to see and our heart would feel what He wants us to feel, what impact we could have on this world. Pattern your life, pattern my life through the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to lead me, to guide me, to show me. I give you a practical challenge on this one. I said that about your eyes and your heart and your mind and your speech. I'm going to give you another practical challenge. Go to some place in the Word of God that you've avoided reading for your whole life. And that might be a short life for some of you. For some of you, it might be a little while on the earth. Okay? Go somewhere in the Word of God that you've never read before. And the truth, you really have thought this, but you may not tell anybody, why would I read that? What does that have to do with anything in my life? Go there, spend some time there, and ask God to show you something about it and how it applies to your life. Right here, right now, in the present of the today, this afternoon. Turn somewhere. Find something that you've never read before or something that you've read, and that's so confusing. How could you ever understand it? And say, God, I want to go with a new openness. I want to go with a fresh view of your word. Because when he started in Genesis and he ended in Revelation, he didn't waste anything. Is it all meant for this very moment? Not necessarily. But are you allowing God to use all of his arsenal as he fights for your battle? As he fights for your heart? As he fights for your mind? Are you allowing him to use his entire arsenal? To walk by the Spirit means pattern our life after Jesus, remaining in Him. Is there a disconnect in your life today? Are you feeling like He's around, but I don't know that He's really that close? I believe the Holy Spirit lives in me, but it really kind of just seemed like He's somewhere else all the time. And point number four. To walk by the Spirit means producing the fruit of the Spirit is to be a constant. Last week, I looked at Galatians chapter 5 quite a bit, and that was kind of been our overview. We're going to stay there for a few weeks. Producing the fruit of the Spirit is to be a constant. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. See, we did not choose him. He offered himself because out of love. And I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You see, that connection is incredibly important to the last few words of that scripture. It's not a wishing well. It's not throwing a coin in a fountain and wishing. There's a connection here that says the Spirit in me teaches me and shows me, and we are so connected that when I am praying, I know how to pray for that in this moment, and I'm coming in agreement with what God's already doing, and I'm coming in the name of Jesus. Requires listening, requires teachability, requires an openness to the Spirit. And I throw out a word of caution to you today. We live in a very spiritual culture. Oh, we have a lot of spiritual people in the American culture. But I caution you to be careful that you're following the people or listening to the people that are speaking what the Holy Spirit is saying. Not just spiritual people. In fact, you probably work around people. You may have people in your family, they know all the right buzzwords. Because there's a lot of people out there that use the name of Jesus, and not necessarily in vain like maybe you have. That was supposed to be a joke. That kind of sucked, didn't it? I know, it was terrible. Thank you, Jackson. I want you to be aware. I need to be aware that evil probably will come at you in many forms, in many ways. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This abiding, it's not a coming and going. It's not based on my feelings. It's not based on my emotions. It's based on a fact that the Holy Spirit lives in me, and that God desires for me to produce this on a constant basis. So what's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your attitude? What's coming out of your actions? Is it always easy? I said this to you last time. I keep saying, there is nothing that just becomes automatic because we think it should be easy. It becomes part of who we are because the Holy Spirit is part of who we are. It should be an outflow of our connection, that deep, intimate connection through the Holy Spirit, through God the Father. Since we live by the Spirit, since we abide in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Producing the fruit of the Spirit is meant to be ongoing and not starting and stopping. God does desire that we live a victorious life, but it's victorious from His standpoint. It is victorious from His standpoint. Along the way, there's going to be battles. He won the war. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He's resurrected. He won the war. There's going to be some battles along the way. And that battle is to kill, steal, and destroy. It is not a battle to have you be in a bad mood. It's a battle to kill, steal, and destroy. It's not in a battle that just simply says, you know, I hope you have an okay day. It's a battle that says, I want you to have a terrible day and believe you can have an impact on this world. To walk by the Spirit, producing the fruit of the Spirit, is to be a constant. But that doesn't happen if we're not acknowledging the first three points. And so as we summarize these points, to walk by the Spirit means the Holy Spirit lives in you, means to be open and sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit, pattern our life after Jesus' life through the leading of the Holy Spirit, and producing the fruit of the Spirit is to be a constant. And I remind you this morning, this is a now word. It's a now word that can be fresh to you, can be fulfilling to you, it can be challenging to you. To walk by the Spirit means there's a relationship. And God has invited you not to just come close, but to be as close as you want to be. To be just like His Son. To know when it's time to get up early in the morning because you need some Sabbath time. To know when you're at work how to speak in difficult situations. To know that when you're at home and you're that close to being finished with the last thing you binge watch, but you haven't spent any time in the Word for a whole week, that the Word of God will still be there, but the fresh Word of God is a now thing. That when you finish those programs, that the Word of God will be there, but He had something in the moment to speak right then. That those appointments that you have in your life that sometimes can be irritating, aggravating, and agitating, they're a now divine appointment to speak truth, to speak life, to pray quietly, or to pray out loud, to be moved in your heart with emotion that says, I really do have a heart for the lost. Producing the fruit to be a constant through a connecting. So this morning I'll close with some questions and a prayer for us. I'll pray. Here's some directives. Each day, ask God to direct your steps through the Holy Spirit. Rhetorical, but give it some thought. What in your life have you made off limits to God? What in your life have you made off limits to God? Because if you ask Him, God, teach me, show me, lead me today. What if that next text message, that person is the person that you least wanted to hear from, and you just prayed, lead me, guide me, direct me. Hallelujah. And that next person is the thorn in your side. And God says, I just want you to choose to love them. Make you sensitive to the Holy Spirit throughout the day. Where you find yourself on purpose by accident, can God use that? You know the answer is yes, but are you opening yourself to that? Each day ask God to make you sensitive to the Holy Spirit throughout the day. All of you, most of you, sit in front of some form of electronic device every day. And if you don't, someone close to you does. Use that which you have placed in front of you and fill it up with reminders. Are you doing these things? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to direct your steps? God, am I really being sensitive to your Spirit today? God, I've given in to the flesh a little today. The Holy Spirit is saying it's time to repent. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Each day ask God to produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. I want to be connected. God, am I severed? God, am I connected in a deep, intimate relationship with you? I know the Holy Spirit's in me, but I just don't feel the intimacy. I just don't feel your presence. And God is saying, well, let's shut out the noise. Let's get up a little bit earlier. I got an alarm clock for you to chase around. God isn't playing hide and seek from you. Are you playing hide and seek from Him? You may say, well, how would that look like in my life? How many things of God in your life, and it could be forgiving someone, loving your enemy, spending more time in His Word, being in a life group, coming at 9:30, you just want to spend some time with other believers. You want to disciple people. That long list of Christian things. But all the list, no matter how long or short it is always has this as an ending statement. I'll get around to it. I'll get to that soon. Soon. So I have a prayer for us. Stole this from John Eldridge, the guy who wrote Waking the Dead that we did back in the fall. I'm going to read it to us, and you can follow along, but I'm going to leave it up there, okay? Holy Spirit, thank you for coming. I love you and I trust you. You have come, you have clothed me with power from on high, sealed me in Christ, become my union with the Father and the Son, the Spirit of truth in me, the life of God in me, my counselor, comforter, strength, and guide. I honor you and I am fully give to you every aspect and dimension of myself, soul, body, my heart, my mind, and my will, to be filled with you, to walk in step with you in all things. Fill me afresh, Holy Spirit. Lead me into all truth. Anoint me for all of my life and walk in calling. And lead me deeper into Jesus today. I receive you with thanks and I give you total claim to my life. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a dangerous prayer. So I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. If you're not serious, I'd be careful. Because God loves you enough to see that fulfilled if you pray it, regardless of how well you're embracing it. God will prune. God will show up and show out in ways that will awe you. That's a dangerous prayer. Now that time, because I've been looking at this all week, that's probably about the 10th time I've prayed it. And not one time has God almost immediately not shown me something. He's always revealed something as I pray that. So I'm going to pray for us, and whichever person from our worship team wants to come up and be up here with me can come on up. Today, God's blessing hope to be up here with me. Our worship team does a great job, don't they, in leading us in worship? Thank God for their faithful obedience with a servant's heart. So I'm going to pray for us. You may have picked up a card when you came in. If you didn't pick up a card, you still have a prayer request. You can text all requests to Rick, and he will get those requests. You can actually pick, hey, I didn't pick Regina this time. You can actually text those requests to Dusty or Rick or I. And I'm being serious, like, anytime, but especially the now. Because God, what's God stirring on you today? So I'm going to pray for us. Pause for a moment and listen. And listen. Then our altar will be open if you want to come for prayer. Grab somebody to pray with. It's a great time to just be ministered to and minister to others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for our wonderful counselor, our advocate. Father, we love you. And Lord, you did this out of love. You didn't have to. There was no requirement. No one made you. You made a choice. And so, Lord, I pray today we'll make a choice that says, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Teach us anew. Maybe for the first time, some of you this morning, take inventory. Have you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord? Have you given all of you to all of Him? These next few moments, how will you respond? And our altar will be open. You can bring your cards and your envelopes. We lay all this before the throne of God. Trust in Him to do a great work. Amen. your envelopes at this time, and there's a basket at the back if you'd like to bring it then. I pray that whatever God has spoken to you today would find fertile soil, a lot of watering, a lot of fertilizing would go on, and you produce an incredible harvest. There's a lot of death and decay around us. A lot of hopelessness. May God give you one word to speak that's life to somebody today. Let's pray. Father, what you have imparted to us is so great, I really can't describe it. How do you describe eternal life? Away from all the garbage, to be in the presence of the one true living holy God. Lord, the Holy Spirit in us, guide and direct us today. May we live a life that glorifies you, Father, and sees your kingdom come. in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you guys.